Radio Prague News.
The Czech president says a peace deal between warring Syrians could be signed in Prague. The Czech economy is growing faster than first thought, and exercises to prepare for an immigrant surge are being held on the Austrian border. Czech President Miloš Zeman says the two sides in the civil war in Syria are interested in signing a peace deal in Prague. Syrian government and opposition representatives are currently in talks in Geneva over a cessation of the four-year conflict. Speaking in New York on Tuesday, shortly before a speech to the United Nations General Assembly, Mr. Zeman said both sides were already speaking about a Prague declaration, though this would most likely take some time to come about. He held talks with Syria's Foreign Minister Waled Mualem and had planned to speak with the opposition figures, but they failed to make a meeting on time. The Czech economy is growing even faster than expected, according to figures released Wednesday by the Czech Statistical Office. The latest figures put growth in the second quarter, compared with the same period last year, at 4.6%. The original August estimate was for 4.4%. That means that the local economy is expanding at the fastest rate since 2007. Second quarter growth compared with the first quarter stood at 1.1%. Czech police and army staged joint exercises on the Austrian border on Wednesday to prepare for a scenario where there is a surge of immigrants through the country. Around 500 police officers and 300 soldiers are taking part in the exercise. One of the main tests will be to see how communications between the army and police function on the ground. Since stepped-up border controls in June, Czech police have detained around 3,000 illegal immigrants. The Czech Republic has so far not been a main transit country for immigrants heading towards Germany and other countries. The Constitutional Court on Wednesday ordered a local court to open the case of a farm confiscated from the famous Mašín family of anti-Nazi and later anti-communist opponents. The farm near Kolín was partly returned to the family after 1989, but the family have since been fighting for its full restitution. Such moves, led by Zdena Mašínová, were blocked by the regional court on procedural grounds. Josef Mašín was one of the so-called Three Kings who led resistance to the Nazi occupation. Sons Josef and Štirad were part of an anti-communist group before fleeing to the West in 1953. Prague was unable Wednesday to provide travellers with its electronic transport open card tickets after a failure in the system software. City authorities were expecting trouble from Thursday, a deadline in the ongoing wrangle between the original provider of the open card software and services, the company eMoney Services. The battle between the authorities and company had been taken to the courts. The electronic card was pushed through during the era of former mayor Pavel Bem at an estimated cost of 1.75 billion crowns. The city has been trying to reclaim the rights to the open card software. And finally, the reserve price of 790 million crowns was offered in an auction of a choice part of real estate in the centre of Prague on Wednesday. One foreign bidder, whose identity has not been revealed, made the offer for the former monastery building on Nemesti Republiky. The building has long been largely abandoned. The buyer has 60 days to pay. The building carries a conservation order which could limit its future uses. The monastery was founded by Irish monks in the 16th century. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, in a speech to the UN General Assembly, President Zeman calls for a coordinated elimination of terror leaders. And away from politics, a group of Czech adventurers drive their Trabants across Australia and Southeast Asia. Later on in Marketplace, the anti-hacker company CyberGym comes to Prague. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. In In a speech to the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday, Czech President Miloš Zeman focused on one subject, terrorism. The threat is growing and coordinated action needs to be taken to eliminate the leaders of terrorist groups, he told world leaders in New York. Ian Willoughby reports.
Miloš Zeman devoted the entirety of his 10-minute English language address to the UN General Assembly to the fight against international terrorism. As for why the leader of a small Central European state was focusing on that issue, the Czech president said practically all EU countries were now facing a refugee crisis sparked by terrorism in the Middle East and Africa. Mr. Zeman told the gathering of world leaders that it was an illusion to believe that terrorism was a kind of historical fluctuation that would eventually vanish.
The terroristic movement is growing like a cancer. There is a diffusion of terrorism. There is a growing number of so-called failed states, growing number of assassinations, cruelties, murders, annihilation of cultural, like in the case of Palmyra, monuments, and so on and so on. And we cannot deny this growing process.
Mr. Zeman said reducing the issue of terrorism to Islamic State alone was a mistake and listed several other groups. Two leading Arab politicians had told him that the Muslim Brotherhood was the cover organization for this network, he said. The Czech head of state told the assembly that the US, Russia, European states and other countries had been the direct victims of terrorism. This new threat required a new approach on the part of the international community, he said. Sending in troops is not the answer, in his view.
All generals prepare the previous war. And what I propose as a fight against terrorism are no tanks, no infantry, no artillery. We need to seek for new forms of the fight, and because unilateral actions are heavily criticized, and more than that, they were completely unsuccessful, like in the case of Iraq. I do not recommend any massive occupation of any territory.
What the Czech head of state does recommend is targeted attacks against the leaders of terror groups. They would be carried out under the umbrella of the UN Security Council, whose members have differences but also have a common enemy.
What we need are small military units equipped by drones, by helicopters, by cooperation of secret services, by commandos or, if you wish, rangers. The small blue helms of some sort, which would eliminate the leaders of terroristic organizations.
President Miloš Zeman there addressing the UN General Assembly in New York. Moving away now from politics, members of a Czech-led expedition who travelled in Fiats, Jawa motorcycles and Trabants across Australia and Southeast Asia have just returned to Prague. In the past, the team tackled South America and Africa, producing popular documentaries. They filmed their latest journey as well. Jan Wellinger spoke to expedition head Dan Ptibány, asking him about some of his impressions from Southeast Asia.
Bali is a nice island. I was surprised in the whole Indonesia. Because of Bali, I was thinking that Indonesia is a very touristic country. And it's not true. We met some white guys in Bali around the beaches. But if you're going through the middle of Bali, there is nobody, just locals. And it's the same in all Indonesia. So if you are traveling off the touristic road, it's a completely different world. If you are going to some bubble around the beaches, there are surfers and girls in bikinis. You are traveling 20 kilometers off the beach, maybe 100. It's a different world. It's not the world from the catalogue of travel agencies. It's completely different.
You told Czech Radio that you're waiting now for the cars to be returned to make the journey back from Thailand. What kind of condition are the Trabants in right now? And do they need, for example, a major overhaul after a journey like this one?
Yes, it will, because it was, we have a lot of technical problems. We never have it on any previous expedition. We have to repair everything on it. So I can remember what didn't broke on the road. So the car is very, very poor, and we have to repair everything on it. The engines, the bodies of the cars, everything.
So it sounds like the poor yellow car suffered a little bit. When I interviewed you in the past, you once said that Trabants were great because you could fix them with just a hammer and a wrench. So is that no longer true, or is...
Yes, it's true. It's only on the reason why we finished the road with the Trabant, because it was impossible to repair it like this. We stay somewhere in the beginning of Australia. So yes, you can repair it everywhere with the hammer and some stone. And it's only reason why we finish it. If we have this lot of problems like we have with the complicated car, we never made it.
This expedition across Australia and Southeast Asia was preceded by a very successful crowdfunding campaign. Did you allow yourself any extra comforts in the Trabants or the Fiats or the Yawa motorcycles that you didn't have before?
No. We just buy better cameras and better equipment for filming. So we spend a lot of money for this because we want to make a great movie. We promise our star people from crowdfunding to make a great movie. So we spend a lot of money for this. So there is nothing new. No air condition, no new engine. It's still the same cars like it was in South America. But we have better cameras.
Dan Přibáň, one of the Czech adventurers who like to travel around the world in Trabants there. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, Marketplace, this time with Chris Johnston.
The Czech Republic has been chosen as the first location outside Israel for anti-hacker company Cybergym to set up its operations. The firm was founded on the experience of Israel's biggest power company to fend off thousands of hacking attacks a day aimed at shutting down its power plants and the know-how of army and intelligence experts. Cybergym's Vice President Gilad Yoshi and the Chief Executive of its Czech operation, Tomáš Pribil, came into the studio to talk about the expansion. I asked Mr. Yoshi, first of all, how Cybergym was created.
The company was established in 2013 by Mr. Hasson, which was the head of energy sector in NISA in Israel. NISA is equivalent to NSA in Israel. And he had the idea about establishing Cybergym as a hands-on training facility to train the employees of the organization against cyber attacks.
And how much was cyber attacks a problem at that time for the electricity company in Israel?
We are facing, the Israel Electric Corporation, facing between 20 to 25,000 cyber attacks per day. We are facing these attacks from all over the world, but mostly from Iran, Syria, China, of course, and Russia. It's a challenge to protect such a facility, and the attacks wasn't only on the traditional IT infrastructure, but also on the heavy machines, on the SCADA equipments in the turbine, which can create a lot of damages. And this is why actually Israel Electric Corporation joined to this kind of activities of Cybergym.
And initially, How was it set up initially? Was it a small group of people, and were they people specially trained, or had they somehow got experience with the electricity company sort of tackling these original attacks, or how did it first get started?
All of our employees, all the employees of Cybergym are veterans from the Israel Defense Force and other intelligence institute in Israel with a lot of experience in the offensive and in the defensive, with a lot of capabilities on the cyber domain. And of course, with the support and help and the experience of Israel Electric Corporation with protecting such a facility, we create Cybergym. The idea of CyberGym is to train the employees of the critical infrastructure around the world, not only, of course, in Israel, and to provide them the knowledge and the know-how that we have in Israel.
And does this more or less work? I presume the electricity works fairly steadily in Israel, but have there been instances where that they've got through the defences at all?
We didn't face any critical incidents in Israel Electric Corporation, but yes, we are facing a lot of very heavy and sophisticated attacks into the facility of Israel Electric Corporation, some of them in a very high level that can create a lot of damages, not only by money, but actually to shut off all the electricity and by that actually all the country. And this is why it's so important to protect such facilities. These days, we are seeing the same action of activists, of organization, of terror from all over the world against the other side of the world. So the Russians with the Americans, and we are seeing it today with ISIS against Turkey just a few weeks ago. Actually, they shut off the electric company in Anatolia, and it was caused to a shortcut all over Turkey for more than 12 hours.
When did the sort of the gym concept start up and you started offering this sort of know-how training to people outside of the electric company, outside of Israel?
At the end of 2013, we start to approach companies all over the world. Until now, we trained more than 80 different companies from all over the world. And since our arena in Israel is over capacity already, we decide to establish another training facility out of Israel. And for that, we look for a potential partner who know the business, who understand what is security, and the most important, have the people, have the capabilities to provide such kind of high-level training.
Maybe you could just talk for a few minutes about what the training actually is, because if I understand correctly, you try and recreate an attack, and then the company's employees try to defend against it. It's basically a simulation exercise or a series of simulations.
Yes, it's even more than simulation, it's actually emulation. What we are doing first, we are targeting the threats of the organization. Who is the enemy of that organization? The fact that we are talking about with bank as a potential client in Europe and with bank in Asia, it not means that they have the same enemies. And first, in order to fight against something, you need to know who is the enemies. So what we are doing, we are trying to understand the threats of this organization. By knowing the threats of the organization, we are building a real facility with a real technological environment in our arena, and we are allowing the employees of this company who come to train in CyberGym to face a real cyber attacks which are relevant to their threats, and to train them on a real equipment, real technological environment similar to what they have at their home company. And this is another level of reality, which is a very unique approach. There is no such facility in the world. It's the first facility here in Europe, which is outside of Israel. It's a very unique approach of how to train employees against cyber attacks, not only by simulation, not only by presentation, but by emulation in a real scenario, and not only the employees who is working directly with traditional IT security, but also the perspective of business continuity, perspective of marketing, perspective of physical security, and other aspects. So by the end, we are providing the organization full scale of training, and we are not training the individuals, we are training the organization as a unit.
And this is ongoing training, I presume, because the threat changes over time.
Yes, the first training is 5 days long in the arena, and then every 6 months we are providing a knowledge maintenance to our clients, to our potential clients here in Europe as well. And by that, it allows them to keep and to maintain the knowledge of their employees.
And in most conventional warfare, it's always said that the attackers have the advantage because they come up with something new and then the defense has to somehow respond. That's how warfare has been for thousands of years. Yeah. I mean, how is it in cyber warfare?
It's even more complicated. You compare it to the real battlefield, and in the real battlefield, you can see the tanks, you can see the airplanes, you can see the soldiers. In the cyber war, you are not seeing anything. Nothing is visible. So when you realize that there is an attack, it's too late. And now you need actually to mitigate, you need to contain and to handle the attack. This is exactly the tools that we are providing to our clients. Not only how to protect, but more important, how to contain the attack. What is the procedures that you need to take in action in order to reduce the damages? Because reducing the damages of the attack first will cause you to lose less money. Second, business continuity, which is the most important, reputation of your organization, etc. We can see the example, the case study of a Sony attack. They have the best technology, but they didn't have the proper knowledge how to handle this attack. And for more than 3 weeks, they was totally lost in the dark. We are providing our clients the possibility to manage the attack in a better way, and by the end, to control it. You will not beat the hackers. They are terrorists. You cannot beat the terror, but you can manage it in a different way. And this is exactly the tools that we are providing.
Coming back maybe to the actual companies who employ your services, can you say who they are?
We have a lot of clients from different sectors, from the industrial sectors, from the automobile sectors, from the energy sector, and of course finance, like insurance company, banks, and credit cards. And also some governments, also from Europe. Most of them, of course, are not allowing us to use their name, but government of Spain allow us to use as a reference, and they are our clients. Government of Lithuania as well are our clients. And one of the biggest bank in Portugal, Millennium Bank, which have branches also in Poland, is one of our clients as well. And they allow us to use their name as a references.
Just speaking generally, are the hacker attacks greater than before and more damaging? Or how is it at the moment? How does it look?
All these sectors, the banks, etc., are investing a lot of money on technology, and now they will invest much more money on actually to train their employees to be ready to contain and to handle this kind of cyber attacks. The attackers are going better and better if you compare them to what they did last year and what they are doing this year. It's totally different in high level. Most of them are sponsored by governments. We have the tracks by the Iranian government. We have the tracks of the Syrian electronic army, which are doing very, very well and generating a very sophisticated and high-level attacks.
I'll move now over to the Czech Republic. And first of all, the obvious question is why was a decision to set up the first outpost outside Israel in the Czech Republic?
I think the reason was that I think the threats which we are facing right now are increasing. So that was the reason why we decided to establish Arena here in Czech Republic. We bought the license from Israeli part, and now all the know-how is transferring into Czech Republic. And this is a good opportunity for us to serve our clients here in Europe and to help them to counter the most sophisticated cyber attacks. This is our goal right now.
And one of the reasons, if I understand correctly, was the high level of IT expertise in the country.
Yes, I think we have quite a long history in IT security business because we make partnership with Corpus Solution Company, which was started in 1992, so more than 15 or 16 years in cybersecurity. So this is a good chance to serve such a high professional services to the clients.
And what's actually happening in the Czech Republic? When do you actually start, and what sort of customers have you got?
The Arena will be done during February 2016. So during that period, we will serve our services to our clients. Our clients will be, as Gilad said, big banks, big critical infrastructures, if I can say. For example, power grids, power plants, and so on, telco operators also. So now there is a process of transferring of all know-how which is necessary for such trainings.
And will these just be Czech companies, or will there be companies from neighboring countries, Germany, Poland, Western Europe?
We bought a license for the Czech Republic, for Slovakia, for Germany, for Poland, for Hungary and other countries which are in the nearest surroundings in Czech Republic. And we can also serve other countries in Europe. Depends how we make agreement with Israel.
And that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnston has brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.